Good morning, everyone. Great to have you with us, and a huge welcome to you. Wherever you are, watching later on the phones, it's great to have you with us, and thanks for connecting with us this morning. And as you've remembered, of course, all you men, of course you remembered, it's Valentine's Day, but just as our opening video reminded us, love is in the air. Love is in the air, or love is all around us, as the songs say. I won't go any further, you're all right. But you know, as that video was saying, as Christians, we know that because of God's love, he's the ultimate source of love. His love gives meaning to ours. His love is actually the source of our own love. And wherever it is, particularly on a human level, whether that's just within our families, recognizing the relationships we have, or even with those whom we love and want to partner with, God gives us that ultimate point of discovery. It's him who's designed us, and therefore we need to trust him and look to him for an understanding of love. So I hope that permeates everything we do today as we worship, as we think about God and his word and what he wants to say and do to us. It's because he loves us. And let's tag into that as we ask for God's help to love others. So let's pray. So let's give our time to God. So Father, thank you for just the reminder of today, all about love. And Lord, as we spend this time together, help us to remember that you loved us in the most amazing ways. You continually provide for us, showing us your love, your care, all the time. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to release our love and our worship to you as we go through this morning. Lord, we give you this time, and we pray that you will be pleased with that which we offer. Just as a Valentine would be grateful for whatever they receive, for the acknowledgement of love. Lord, may we do that for you as we give you our time and our worship this morning. So we give you this service. Be with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's do that. Let's start with our time of worship. So over to you, Adam. Thank you.
Sing out, the Lord is near. Built him a temple here. Palace of praise. Throne of thanksgiving, made for the King of Kings. Sing out the joyful song, his love goes on and on. Where praises abound, his glory surrounds us, filling his temple here. Sing out, the Lord is near. King of Kings, sing joyful song. His love goes on and on. When praise is about, His glory surrounds us, filling His temple here. Sing out, the Lord is near. There's a place where the streets shine with the glory of the Lamb. There's a way we can go there. We can live there beyond all time. Because of You. Because of You. Because of Your love. Of Your blood. No more pain, no more sadness, no more suffering, no more tears. No more sin, no more sickness, no injustice, no more death. Because of You. Because of You. Because of Your love, because of Your blood. Oh, our sins are washed away. We can live forever. Now we have this hope because of You. Oh, we'll see You face to face. We will dance together. City of our God, because of You. There is joy everlasting, there is gladness, there is peace. There is wine ever flowing, there's a wedding, there's a feast, because of You. Of Your love, because of Your blood. Oh, our sins are washed away. We can live forever. Now we have this hope because of You. Oh, we'll see You face to face. We can dance together in the city of our God, because of You. Oh, our sins are washed away. We can live forever. Now we have this hope because of You. Oh, we'll see You face to face. We can dance together in the city of our God. Of You.
Thanks, Adam. Yeah, all because of what Jesus has done, and that's the heart of our worship, isn't it? So brilliant, great way to start. Just a few announcements, if I could. Firstly, big thank you to Alison for last week, and James the week before, last couple of weeks. But you know, there's one of the group of people I really want us to acknowledge this morning. That's this faithful team who is making even this morning happen, who's made it happen for the last weeks, months, over last year, throughout the whole of this pandemic. And that's Ian and Adam and Rich, you know, especially them. We've had other people dropping in as when we could, but actually these are the core people. So can I ask you to give them a big clap? Come on, wherever they are. Wherever you are, give them a big clap. In fact, drop lots of emojis into the comments. Go on. Just storm it with lots of emojis. That would be really good. It's a huge thank you, guys, because you've made this happen. Anyway, less of the celebration. Get back to your jobs, you guys. Come on. Earlier in the week, you would have received an email about the Churches Together Lent course, Caring for Creation. And I just want to encourage you to join with that if you can. It begins a week on Tuesday, on the 23rd. See all the email for details. Go on the SCT website, the Church of Together website, or even the post which I put on our Facebook page. You'll have the details are there as well. But let's engage with that. It's a really important topic. We also have our prayer time this coming Wednesday at 7:30. That's via Zoom. If you haven't, if you're not on the list to receive the link, just again drop it into the comments, and we'll make sure you get that. And of course, there's always our coffee time and prayer and opportunity after our service. Equally, just drop it into the comments if you haven't got that Zoom. Okay, I'm going to hand over to two real stars now who are going to introduce our topic today. So it's over to Rich and George. You'll love this.
My name is Richard and I'm here to MC with George the orangutan.
I'm not a monkey.
Open your Bibles to the book of Isaiah and we'll learn about a man by the name of Hezekiah.
Hezekiah, a truly great king.
He tried to please God and keep his people from sin. Some kings were good and some kings were bad.
Some worship statues and that made God sad.
When Hezekiah became bossy, threw out all the idols, led his people back to God, we call that a revival.
Hezekiah, what you trying to do?
I'm here to follow God, you should worship him too. I wanna be a good king and get things right. Talk to God, day and night.
Things were looking good, things were really grooving. Bodies from the east started moving.
They're called the Assyrians and they were bad news. They conquered half the globe but they had one star reviews. Swooping down on Israel on the attack. Every city that they came to they trampled flat.
They were bigger and stronger and better at fighting. All of God's people were really, really frightened. Hezekiah, what you gonna do? The Assyrian army have come to get you.
I'll give them lots of treasure so they'll leave us alone.
They took the silver and gold but wouldn't go home.
The Assyrians came to the capital city. Jerusalem surrounded, it didn't look pretty. The boss of the bad, he said, you better surrender. Give up now, your God can defend ya.
God cannot save us, don't be absurd. Hezekiah fell to his knees and prayed to the Lord.
God Almighty, King of heaven and earth, listen and look, they say you're of no worth. They say that have conquered all peoples and lands, that no God before has put us up to their plans. But those gods were man-made, carved from wood and stone. When it comes to being real, you stand alone. Now hear us and save us, to you I kneel. So the whole world will know that you're really real.
Hezekiah, the king who prays, he trusted in God, the one who saves.
He didn't give in, he did what was right. God sent one angel and won the whole fight.
The Assyrian army got scared and ran away. Not one arrow was fired, they say.
At first Hezekiah panicked and tried his own way, but things worked much better when he went to pray.
Talking to God can help us feel better. You can sing worship songs or just talk or write a letter.
So don't forget about God or act like he's not there, but bring all your thanks and your worries to him in prayer.
Thank you, Richard, and thank you, George. Just, how do you follow that? We're going to get our pots and pans out, and we're going to sing our song, I Am a Friend of God. I want to hear those pots and pans.
Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me?
I love that song. Brilliant. Hope you heard my backing lyrics there. Anyway, brilliant. Thanks, Rich and George. Awesome. And thanks, Adam, too. Brilliant. Now, obviously, throughout the whole of this pandemic, there's been a group of people within our community who played very, very significant roles. And we've been trying to pray for them and whatever, but sometimes it's good to have that little bit of extra information. And so Fee has gone on that task to find out a little bit more from some community leaders. And our first one in an interview, which she's done with her, is with our own Hannah Boyce. So over to Fee and Hannah. Thanks.
Hi everyone. This morning we are joined with Hannah Boyce, who has been a community nurse in Swanage for 3 years and has been a long-term member of our church community as well. Right, so I just wanted to know, like, first of all, the idea of this, aim of this, is to want to support you more in your role in the community, to know what we can pray for, to just get a firmer understanding about what you're kind of going through at the moment, how it's been, what the challenges have been, and yeah, basically how we can kind of bring our support as a church community to you, to, the team that you work with and kind of widely in the community. So how was the last time we were together at church was the last baby cafe, wasn't it? Which seems an eternity ago.
So, yeah.
So just talk us through what you've been through over the last year.
Oh, I think it's been a really challenging year for everyone, hasn't it? And there's been a lot of ups and downs and kind of not knowing what's to come, and I think everyone's just been hoping it's going to be over, and then it hasn't been. So work-wise, it has been a real challenge for us in community nursing. Obviously, we're going into people's homes and they're really usually elderly, vulnerable people, so they're already quite high risk in terms of the virus. You know, we've had to kind of deal with the different advice as we've gone along, and things have changed as we've gone along. We found out more about how to deal with the virus. You know, at times it's been quite frightening for us because we have to face it. You know, we don't have the option to shield ourselves away and avoid situations that are more risky, because it's actually part of our job. And, you know, we are caring for patients with COVID. So it's been a challenging year, I would say.
And presumably, yeah, there have been some really tough decisions where you've obviously you've got a family, and that must have been incredibly challenging and tough to make the kind of, even to go into work each day and then kind of come back, I guess, presents risk. And that must have been probably one of the key challenges for you in terms of balancing all that.
Yeah, exactly. Because when it first happened, when this virus first came, we didn't really know how dangerous it was. And obviously I was concerned for the children and for myself and James. And then we've got my parents and his mum. Yeah, it was difficult. And there were times when I hadn't wanted to really go to work because I knew that I was putting everyone at increased risk. But also because the children were home from school, we had to use some of our family for childcare. So it's been difficult. Yeah, it has. Yeah. You know, there's been plenty of times I just prayed for God to keep us safe. And that's all you can really do.
Yeah. So well done, because, you know, you've clearly kind of been through a lot this year. And so, yeah. So you said like praying and just asking God for his help really helps you. Has there been any other ways that you've been encouraged and strengthened in this time?
Yeah, I think people's appreciation of nurses and doctors have definitely increased. Not that they were not appreciative before, but I think it's made people more aware of our integral role in our community in Swanage and, you know, in this pandemic.
So how are things looking at the moment? I mean, obviously we're all aware of the kind of uncertainty and the changes every day, but do you feel like you've got into more of a rhythm with how you work? And
yeah, it's become normal to wear that extra PPE and to you wash everything down and you're washing your hands all the time. And we were doing that before, but it's stepped up. It, you know, it's a whole new level because we have this sort of invisible enemy that we have to keep trying to wash away. It's become part of the norm, the routine. And although it makes everything take longer, I think we've all adjusted to that. The thing is, you can't actually eliminate the risk. And that, I struggle with that, because even when you're doing everything you can, you're still putting yourself at risk. And that's when, you know, all I can really do is just trust God.
So how can we be praying with you as a church at the moment, or just generally kind of supporting you in your community role?
Well, we definitely need prayer, because up until more recently, we down in Swanage, in terms of the community nurses that are caseload, we've been quite protected from the virus. You know, people are caseload does tend to stay at home and not really integrate much in society. So I think that's been a protective factor. But now we are seeing a lot of cases, and you all know that there's an outbreak locally, and that we're really heavily involved in that. And it's really very sad, not wanting to sound like doom and gloom, that it's happening a lot more now with this new variant. Mm-hmm. So please pray for us that we will care for people in their last days and give them as peaceful a time as we can, and pray for our protection for all the nurses, because the last thing we need is anyone to get poorly with it. We have all been vaccinated. I can just encourage everyone to have their vaccination, but that is what we really need to achieve a certain level of immunity through that. But yeah, just pray for us that we'll be able to endure really, and to do give everyone really good care, and that we'll be able to cope and it won't become more than we're physically able to manage.
Yeah, we will definitely be praying for you, Hannah, and yeah, do just keep us updated if there's anything you want to add to that, like as the weeks go on. But yeah, so thank you again, Han. God bless. It's really nice to chat to you, Han, and I'll speak to you soon.
Yeah, you too. Take care.
Thank you. Yes, thank you, Fee. Thank you, Hannah, for your openness there. It's a really, really helpful reminder. So I think it would be really good to do what they talk about there. Let's pray. And let me lead you just in a short prayer for these folk. Let's pray. So, Father, firstly, we want to say a huge thank you for all those frontline NHS workers like Hannah, both within our community and across the nation, those in our hospitals, both medical staff and support staff. Lord, for the first responders and for the paramedics who get to see the difficult things. Lord, we just pray that for all those who've given so much over the last year throughout this whole pandemic, Lord, we ask that you would restore them. You'd strengthen them as we pray. Bless them, Lord, and their families. And for all the sacrifices that they've made and the extra hours they've worked. Lord, sustain them and keep them safe. Protect them, Lord, we ask, in the essential work that they perform. And Lord, for all the other key workers across our nation, within our own town, that have been there for us and have kept the nation's wheels turning in these difficult times. Lord, we want to say thank you for each one, for the way they've given of themselves. And Lord, we want to speak your blessing upon them and your sustenance and your life into them. And we thank you for them. Lord, there are many others we could pray for, but Lord, we want to thank you for all these frontline workers. And we pray this in and through the powerful and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, when you start mentioning people, you forget, don't you? And I mentioned earlier about Rich and Ian and Adam. But actually, we've got two people who are unseen by most people. And that's Ali Snell and Richard Penny, who've been helping on the phones. So huge thank you to you too. So lots of emojis, everybody. Come on. Yeah. Let's say a huge thank you to them. Okay, we're going to move now into another song of worship. So over to you, Adam. Thank you.
Spread your wings of mercy over me. Guard my heart with true humility. No shadow of the darkness pressing in. Only the Holy overshadowing. Underneath your wings, overshadow me. No refuge will I seek but God alone. No hiding place save only at your throne. Only the cross, the blood to wash my sin. Only the holy overshadowing. Underneath your wings, overshadowing. Are my shield. Back to heart to bear, only the easy load you bid me wear, until these troubles pass, my heart will see, praise for the Holy shield and my glory. You are the leader. shelter of my head. Though the storms may rage around me, I'll be safe within, neath the holy overshadowing. Underneath your wings, overshadowing.
Thanks, Adam, and bless you. Thanks, great song, love it. Now, we live in an age, not that you need any reminders, of logins and passwords. Ah! Yeah, don't we? You know, in order to keep all of our information safe, particularly online, although it's happening, I think it's creeping into every part of our lives now, everything has to have some sort of security access. So that we can get at it, whether that be, again, even in person, you have to have certain things. But whether it's things like bank accounts and our cards, whether it's to even log on to websites, even Facebook this morning, PC, and, you know, even the key safes here at church have got a code about them. So at the certain rooms, you can't get in unless you remember the code. Now, I have to tell you, that is terrible for someone like me who can't remember any of these passwords. It's an absolute nightmare. And I spend most of my time resetting my passwords and declaring that I'm actually not a robot in some ways. This is what they ask you to do online, by the way. Because I've forgotten mine. And, you know, I spend more time doing this than sometimes going, even logging on to do what I meant to do when I logged on, if you get my meaning. So, you know, I've got a combination lock, and Jen will tell you, a bike lock I can't open at home because I've forgotten the number. But, you know, I am so grateful for things like phones and tablets where all these passwords are sort of already in there for you, and it's really helpful, and so whenever it comes up and you need to put in this information, you just click up, you know, it's brilliant. I'd be really lost without them. So that's a form of introduction in a way, because today's topic could be aligned to that same sort of need for a login and the use of a password. Because we're going to consider another lockdown situation in this series, which we're currently in, of messages from lockdown. Of course, we're still in lockdown here in the UK. It might only be for a few more weeks, but I'm sure many of us would have had the thought and had thought how good it would be to be able to just log in to some sort of wonderful website and punch in a password, and the whole thing just comes right. And we can just get back to normal life, and all those sorts of things. Wouldn't that be fantastic? Oh, perhaps it's just me then. But I tell you, these things don't work like that though, do they? Because life is full of its ups and downs, even for God's people. But God does provide us with the key tools, the access codes, if you like, to see us through these tough times and these difficulties that we face. And we all go through them from different times. But, you know, you'll remember that so far in this series, we've been in lockdown in Babylon with furnaces and lions, and we've been living in a foreign land. We've even been behind prison bars, and even we've looked at a father-in-law who kept someone under lockdown. But today's a little bit different, in that we're back in Israel. We're actually in the city of Jerusalem about 150 years before that exile to Babylon, in a lockdown under a different power than Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon, and a different king. And it was namely a guy called Sennacherib. I love his name. Sennacherib. You know, say it. But don't say it. You must say it with a mask on, of course. Otherwise, you're spreading all your whatevers. But, you know, and the Assyrians. This is the empire. This is the power which is at work in this particular story. So this message from lockdown actually involves another prophet, the prophet Isaiah, one of the major prophets in our Bibles. But it's really about that guy who Rich and George introduced to us, a guy called Hezekiah, one of the actually pretty good kings of Judah. But he was facing a difficult thing and was being threatened by this guy, Sennacherib. And in a situation which eventually led him from intimidation to liberation. And that's really the theme of what we're going to be looking at today. From intimidation to liberation. And it's clear, he had some sort of login or password, as it were, to get him and the people out of this very difficult and awkward situation. But what was it? Well, let's find out. I think you probably caught to some of that within the rap we heard earlier. But we're going to read just a section or two from the story, which I would suggest you read completely in order to get the whole picture. And you can do that either in Isaiah 36 and 37, or even in 2 Kings, or even in 2 Chronicles. But read that entire story, because it gives you a fuller account of that which we're looking at this morning. But because of time, we can't do that. So I'm just going to take a few sections from the Isaiah passages to give us a gist of the story. So we're going to read from verse 36, chapter 36 of Isaiah, from beginning up verse 1, and then we're going to jump about a bit. Just listen and watch. So in the 14th year of King Hezekiah's reign, King Sennacherib of Assyria came to attack the fortified towns of Judah and conquered them. Then the king of Assyria sent his chief of staff from Lachish with a huge army to confront King Hezekiah in Jerusalem. The Assyrians took up a position beside the aqueduct that feeds water into the upper pool near the road leading to the field where cloth is washed. These are the officials who went out to meet with him: Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, the palace administrator, Shebna, the court secretary, and Joah, son of Asaph, the royal historian. Then the Assyrian king's chief of staff told them to give this message to Hezekiah. "This is what the great king of Assyria says. What are you trusting in that makes you so confident? Do you think that mere words can substitute for military skill and strength? Who are you counting on that you have rebelled against me?" And then a bit further down in verse 12. "Do you think my master sent this message only to you and your master? He wants all the people to hear it. For when we put this city under siege, they will suffer along with you. They will be so hungry and thirsty that they will eat their own dung and drink their own urine." Then the chief of staff stood and shouted in Hebrew to the people on the wall, "Listen to the message from the great king of Assyria. This is what the king says. Don't let Hezekiah deceive you. He will never be able to rescue you. Don't let him fool you into trusting in the Lord by saying, 'The Lord will rescue us, surely rescue us.' This city will never fall into the hands of the Assyrian king. Don't listen to Hezekiah. These are the terms the king of Assyria is offering: make peace with me, open the gates and come out. Then each of you can continue eating from your own grapevine and fig tree and drinking from your own well. Then I will arrange to take you to another land like this one, of land of grain and new wine, bread and vineyards." When King Hezekiah heard their report, he tore his clothes, he put on burlap and went to the temple of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, the palace administrator, Shebna, the court secretary, and the leading priests, all dressed up in burlap, to the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos. And then After Isaiah received the letter from the messengers and read it, he went up to the Lord's temple and spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed this prayer before the Lord. O Lord of heaven's armies, God of Israel, you are enthroned between the mighty cherubim. You alone are God for of all the kingdoms of the earth. You alone created the heavens and the earth. Bend down, O Lord, and listen. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Listen to Sennacherib's words of defiance against the living God. It is true, Lord, that the kings of Assyria have destroyed all these nations, and they have thrown the gods of these nations into the fire and burned them. But of course, the Assyrians could destroy them. They were not gods at all, only idols of wood and stone shaped by human hands. Now, O Lord our God, rescue us from his power. Then all the kingdoms of the earth will know that you alone, O God, you alone, O Lord, are God. And then Hosiah, son of Amos, sent this message to Hezekiah. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Because you prayed about King Sennacherib of Assyria, the Lord has spoken his word against him. We're going to have to leave it there. This is where you need to read the rest of it, because time doesn't allow us. But you get to hear then the rest of what God's planning to do to release his people and to overcome the Assyrians. It's a great story. Please, please read it. And he does it in an amazing way. So we have Hezekiah and the people in a physical lockdown in the city of Jerusalem, surrounded by this massive, powerful army. Things are going to get tough unless something happens. They're fearful about what will happen. Because when you think about it, you get to hear about these powers in these armies and all that's happening around the rest of your country, just as we are aware of what's happening with our pandemic. You know, the grapevine works. We do hear. And so there's this Assyrian messenger guy, and he's intimidating and tempting. And these words are really, they could be believed, couldn't they? You know, even to making us consider giving up and surrendering to this enemy and believing his lies. Let's face it. When you've heard all those stories about Sennacherib and Assyria and about what they've done to other nations and other cities, even not that far away from where you are, it's pretty scary. Surely it could happen to us, couldn't it? So what we have here in this whole scenario is not only the physical threat and lockdown, but one that I believe plays on the mind and the spirit too. It attacks with doubting words and lies, undermining the truth of who we are and what has been said by sowing seeds of rebellion. It's spiritual intimidation by the enemy, emotional intimidation by the enemy, and in this case, of course, Assyria. Very similar from what I understand, I wasn't there, but what I understand happened during the Second World War even. And the war of propaganda, which was used to undermine the morale of the people. That's what's going on here. And I believe in many ways this situation with King Hezekiah and the people of Jerusalem is symbolic of many of the situations which you and I face. It's part of the spiritual warfare, the battle that we as Christians have against God's enemy, against Satan. It's the battle for our own minds and our own hearts, as well as, in fact, the hearts and the minds who are lost and other struggling human beings who we know. And we've talked about all this many times before, that once you're on the Lord's side and you're living in the light, we become aware of the darkness. You know, if you've just got darkness around you, you don't see the other things. But when the light shines, you see, because you can see. And you become aware of the enemy. You become aware of his tactics, his lies and his deception. He plays on those things, both within the world and through the desires of our flesh and the weaknesses of our flesh. And he does it in order to distract us and to knock us off course, ultimately stealing life from us, and which ends up ultimately in spiritual death because he separated us from God. You know, we must not forget the four D's of the enemy and how he attacks us. That is to, he firstly casts doubt on all that God says, on the truth. He distracts us from God's ways, from that truth. And he leads us then into disobedience. And will eventually, because of sin, separates us from God. And that leads us to death. And that's all delivered, of course, with a dose of fear and a dollop of frustration thrown in. You know, we need to be aware that the enemy does not sleep. He's not been quiet, even during this pandemic. And we need to stand firm. And we do see this playing out during this pandemic. We've seen it. We're hearing about it constantly. And we will be for months, if not years to come, once the pandemic in its raging place has calmed down. Because the enemy is using it to undermine us all. He'll use anything. And he'll do it physically. He'll do it mentally. He'll do it emotionally and even spiritually. Now, I'm not saying that the enemy's to blame for this pandemic. Please don't hear that. But what he does, he uses the circumstances. And unless we stay alert and we stay sharp. It's a bit like going online and then wanting to do something, but then remembering you haven't got your login or your password, you know. And you can't do it. The circumstances during and even post this pandemic can, I believe, so easily be manipulated by the devil, causing us all sorts of damage. You know, we're already hearing about mental health and the fallout of this pandemic. And of course, there's the physical aspects, people losing their jobs, the shortness of money and food. Just life has just got so changed, hasn't it? And you know, the enemy uses that. That's like an attack through fear and with the threats and with the intimidation, which all of these things can so easily play upon our minds. It works in the subconscious. And if we don't treat it, if we don't deal with it, you know, it will take its hold. But the enemy, he couldn't care. He doesn't care about humanity. He doesn't care about you and me. He just wants his way. But you know, going back to the story, how did Hezekiah deal with what was facing him? What did he do? He needed to act in the right way rather than react in the wrong way. He needed to act in the right way rather than react in the wrong way. So he keeps his head. And he turns to God. That's the pivotal point in this. He turns to God. He sends a deputation to Isaiah the prophet to hear God's word and what God says. But he then gets on with the first thing, which of course we all do when we're in a crisis. Yeah, we pray, don't we? Well, he prayed. He took the whole thing, all the words, the lies, the intimidation, the whole lot, and he laid it out. He spread it out before the Lord in the temple. It says in chapter 37, verse 14, Hezekiah prayed. He prayed. He turned to God. That was his login, and he prayed. That was his password. The login was turning to God. The password was praying. Something which, do you know, the enemy can't touch because it's secret. It's between you and God and his people. And the enemy cannot touch it. That's why prayer is so powerful. And I love the wording here. He spread it out before the Lord. Wonderful. You know, because that what happened when he did that, the darkness of the situation was exposed to the light of God's presence. The darkness of the situation was exposed to the light of God's presence. He handed it over. He had no answers. He couldn't fix it. He was well outnumbered. The army was far too big. His hands were tied, literally almost. He was in lockdown. But he knew that God couldn't be locked down. He knew that God was not restricted or could not be. How we can pray. And I'd ask you to read it again sometime. But it's a fabulous example. And especially when you're feeling trapped or you're feeling intimidated and overwhelmed. Especially that line about, you know, the overwhelming of the gods which can't, you know, is not like the living God. Really powerful stuff. We need to remind ourselves. Prayer is about remembering who God is and who you are in God. It's about knowing the truth and standing on it and living in it, trusting in it and in the God whom it's for, under pressure, even under the greatest of pressures, no matter what the situation we're facing. It's about letting God have it and leaving it with him. So that God can be God. And that's what Hezekiah did. He laid it out and then just had to trust. And that's the same for us. It's about letting God have the glory. Letting God do what only God can do. It's about him and his and not me and mine. It's not about the king's glory. He didn't have much glory in this. I suppose he got an acceptance because he did turn to God and pray. And it was the key. But ultimately, this is about the power of God at work. And finally, of course, prayer is about remembering that you're on God's side and God is on your side. And that he loves you and he wants the best for you. And he'll fight for you. And of course, that's exactly what he did. If you read the rest of chapter 37, from verse 22 right to the end, God did just that, just as Isaiah predicted. It's amazing. It's a brilliant story. And one, in fact, which God used to speak to me many years ago. And as a church leader, you know, you get all sorts of stuff. I get all sorts of letters. Not so much here, thank goodness, but in my previous church, I got lots of letters. And what did I do? I thought, what do I do? And God said, read Hezekiah. And so I would take the letters, I'd take the emails, I'd print them out physically, and I'd lay them out before God. And I'd tell God about them and how I felt about them and the damage it was doing to me and to the church because of these horrible letters. And I laid them out. And I then had to leave it with God, and God did, and God has sorted these things. And I believe we miss out so much of what God can do because we fail to do this. We fail to lay it out before him. It's about letting God shift us from that place of intimidation through to that place of liberation. About from that place of being trapped and captive to the situations which we're in to a place of freedom and release under God. We don't have to succumb to the enemy's lies and to his intimidations anymore. We can rise up as God's people and we can... He will be with us. He will see us through. If we are only will elect God be God. And we can then watch what he will do. I've been amazed when we've trusted what God has eventually done. Fabulous story. I hope you can learn from it. But you know, I'd like to pray for us all now. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we want to thank you for this story, for this whole incident with Hezekiah. Thank you, God, that he's left us with this wonderful reminder about the gift and the power of prayer, about how we should and when we can pray, and the power of that prayer. Help us, Lord, to learn that no matter what we face, that nothing can separate us from you, not even the enemy. He can't touch that communication between you and us because of the Spirit of God within us. We can always pray. There are no barriers to us praying. That even though the enemy may cast doubt in our minds or even distract us from the truth, he may lie to us and intimidate us, we can overcome and press through to see the victory which you won for us when we turn to you. That, Lord, we can turn in whatever situation we face to you. We can turn situations around through our prayers. Build our faith. You are still the same God today, O Lord, as you were then. And so we ask the Lord of heaven's armies, help us now in our circumstances, even during this pandemic. Give us increased faith. Help us in these days to live for you, to see your intervention, to see your deliverance, and to see this nation to yet again turn back to you. Oh God, have mercy, we pray, in and through that powerful and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Still the same God today. And that's how we're going to draw our service to a close. Adam, thank you.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. These are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. Though these are days of great trials, the famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, to hear of jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. These are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. These are the days of the harvest, the fields are as white in the world. We are the laborers in declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shine like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, to hear of jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. God like Jehovah, there's no God like Jehovah, there's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah, there's no God like Jehovah, there's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah, there's no God like Jehovah, there's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah, there's not like Jehovah. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining.
like sun, and trumpet call, lift your voice, year of Jubilee, out of Zion's hill, salvation comes.
Amen. Amen, amen. You know, it's so easy to think of those sorts of stories way back and think, oh, it's not relevant. It is. This is God's word for us today. It's now. And we can believe it and we can do it. So come on, folks, let's lay the stuff out which is on our hearts. Even get a sheet of paper. Write the stuff which is burdening you on that sheet. Lay it out. Bring it to God. You know, the temple is here. Nowadays, we don't have to go to a place. We don't have to come here to Emmanuel. We can do it wherever we are. It's here. So let's just lay it out. Sometimes helps that physical action. And God, let's bring it to God, the God who can turn these things around. He's still the same God as he was for these guys years ago. And if you do want to follow anything through from what you've heard today, then feel free. You know, you can email us or you can leave a comment and we'll follow it through with you. If you want to, during coffee time, join us in ministry then for some prayer and ministry, then you can as well. We look forward to one day, of course, all being back together. Hopefully not too far away now, but we'll see. But thanks for joining us. And we're going to close our service with a grace from last year from our lovely friends Angela and Mike Mabbs. God bless you. Thank you.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.